Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. There's a precious promise that's given in Proverbs, chapter 3. That my heart and I know, everyone here that knows him, longs to hear again and again. A promise. This is a promise. And it comes at the very end of a verse. Verse 6. Proverbs chapter 3. And here's the promise. And he shall direct thy paths. He shall make straight and plain. That's what direct means. He'll make it straight. He's going to make it plain. Now, that which makes this promise so comforting springs from a realization that every believer has, knows. And he knows this. I'll just read this. It's Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct, to order his steps. Now, let me tell you, just so we'll kind of understand what the Lord is saying here, what it means to, for our good and for the glory of God, for our eternal good and for God's glory, this is what it would take to be able to order our steps for our good and His glory. This is what it would take. We would have to be able to order everything. We would have to be able to direct everything, every movement, every life, every event in nature, for us to be able to direct our paths for our eternal good. We would have to be able to work all things according to God's will and God's purpose. We'd have to be able to accomplish that. Now let me read this scripture again. O Lord, I know that the way of man's not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now that, we know that. Proverbs 20:24 says, man's goings, man's steps are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? We just ain't that smart. We're not omnipotent. We're dust. Creatures of God's mercy, compassion. I'm telling you, we are dust, and that God Almighty has had mercy is only according to His will. We think that we can order, but we can't. We cannot direct. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. How are we, Mike, how are we going to do something today that's going to fit tomorrow? Don't say today or tomorrow we're going to do so and so. We're going to do this, that, and the other. No. But rather you say if the Lord wills, we're going to do that. Because if the Lord doesn't will, let me tell you what you're not going to do. Whatever you think you're going to do, you're not going to do it. We're going to do so and so and so. If the Lord wills, we're going to do that. We're just pilgrims, sojourners, traveling through this world for just a little while. And Almighty God has allowed us to be here according to his good pleasure and will, and we're going to be here just as long as he's ordained we're going to be here. And while we're here, the scripture says that the Lord shall direct the paths of his people. Now, with that divine promise, that comfort and encouragement for God's people, all that are truly convinced of that truth, we are thankful for that. Now let's just see. I'm going to look at verses 5 and 6. About every few years, I thankfully, this verse of Scripture comes back as it did here the other day, back to my heart, and I thought, I need to look at that again. I think on that passage, Paul says, you know, for me to say the same things, we've already looked at this passage before. To my recollection, according to my notes, this will be the third time since I've been here, since I've spoken on this passage of Scripture. Third time. If I'm wrong, then okay, then it's only the second, but I think it's the third. But out of 17 years, right at 17 years, I think I need to hear it again. So I want us to look at it. Verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3. Here's what the scripture says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord. Cling to. Confide in. Cast yourself upon. Set your hope and confidence in him and rest upon him who is God. Do you know what it takes to be able to do that? The grace and power of God. Because I don't have that ability. I can say it. But I think of that the woman with the issue of blood. That said, if I could get to him, if I could touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Trust in Jehovah. In the tri-unity of his persons, in Father and Son and Spirit. Here's what Solomon, through the Spirit of God, is saying. Trust in God the Father. Now, just for a few minutes, let's just stop. Trust in him who is, and there's no way in the world that I'll ever exhaust, you know, that I'm going to make a few statements on each of the persons of the Godhead. But trust in him who is the electing God. Aren't you glad that there is an election of grace? I know the world hates that. I know they do. I know, you know, I've seen the facial expressions of people, and I just hear how they say it, you know, election. That's all you talk about. Isaiah 1:9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom, and should have been like unto Gomorrah. Unless the Lord had elected a people, chose them, selected them, according to his eternal will and purpose, according to his covenant, unless God had chosen to show mercy and said, I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whomsoever I will. I'm not going to let you perish. I'm not going to leave you to yourself. You're a chosen vessel unto me. I am going to keep you. I am not going to let you perish eternally. Unless God had done that, we'd have all been in hell. Unless God would have absolutely said, you're mine. Trust in the one who has blessed us, his people. according to Ephesians 1, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All these spiritual blessings which he's given his people according to the good pleasure of his will. These blessings, we've been justified. Now think of this blessing, justified before him. What does that mean? That means no guilt and no penalty. Trust him. He who chose a people and has justified them before himself by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has put away their guilt, and Christ's righteousness that has been imputed to them. Trust him. Cling to him. Cast yourself. Blessings. Spiritual blessings. Peace before God. Peace. What does that mean? Harmony. We're at peace with God. In Christ, we've been pardoned. Pardon. What does that mean? Lifting off. The lifting off of sin's dominion and power. Pardoned. How could I have done that? I couldn't have done that. How could I make peace with God when of myself I'm just a rebel against God? Listen to this spiritual blessing. Adoption. Predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. God Almighty has chosen to make us his children. Because you are sons, he has sent forth the spirit of his son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Sanctified us. What is that? Made us holy in Christ Jesus. In him, our federal head. Holy, without blame, and therefore we have eternal life, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. People talk about, boy, I've been blessed of the Lord. Why? Well, you got a raise, maybe. That's good. I'm glad. I'm thankful for that. I've got a house. I'm thankful for that. Oh, but all of that's going to perish, but the spiritual blessings, the Lord never takes those back. No. God never repents of that. Trust God the Father, who has purposed and given every spiritual blessing to his people, which heaven requires for their eternal rest. You trust him. Trust in the Son. Trust the one mediator. There's one mediator. You know what a mediator is. The one that can touch both parties. Has a part with both parties. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He who has ever stood and answered as the surety of the sheep. Wisdom himself, who according to Proverbs chapter 8, he said, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. What do you mean he was set up? Ordained and anointed by God according to the everlasting covenant of God's grace. God's got a covenant. He's got a promise. That's a contract. That's what that is. That's a contract. And it's assured by the faithfulness, by the blood of Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I was set up, I was ordained everlastingly. Ordained for what? As the Redeemer. In time, he was made flesh, but he's always been the Redeemer. He's always been the Savior, the Lamb, forever beheld by the Father as the propitiation. Now, what does that word mean? I've heard it before. What does that mean? As the atoning and satisfying sacrifice for the sins of God's people. He's always been the satisfaction. He's always been the covering. I always think of an umbrella when I think of propitiation, an atonement, a covering, just protection, you know. He is the one who, according to God's covenant of grace, was, according to his word, Proverbs 8, brought up with the Father. He was daily the Father's delight, always rejoicing before him as the one who would answer. God Almighty trusted him. Trusted him. First trusted in Christ. Trusted him as the one who would absolutely answer. He's the one that Jehovah eternally declared, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him and help meet for him. Oh, trust him who has a bride. A bride that's been given him. Trust him who united himself to her and put her in union with himself. A union that's never going to be dissolved. You trust in him. You trust in him who eternally betrothed her, married her. The scripture says in Hosea 2, he betrothed her to himself in righteousness. What does that mean? That means his righteousness is her righteousness. What I got is Glenda's. That's hers. Why? By marriage. That's hers. He betrothed her to himself in judgment. What does that mean? He answered every demand for full payment to the broken law that she hadn't even broken because she hadn't been born yet. God knew it. You're going to fall. God saw him, that lamb slain. Betrothed her to himself in loving kindness and mercies. That is, he did what he did for her willingly, lovingly, mercifully, and in faithfulness, the scripture says in Hosea 2, 19 and 20. That means he faithfully honored every jot and tittle of God's law. You trust in him. Trust in the Father. Trust in the Son, the one who is the Word. The Word made flesh, the only begotten Son in whom the Father is well pleased. And trust in the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Holy Spirit. He's God, one God. Trust in him who is the quickening God. The one by whom sinners are born again from above, born of heaven. Trust him who is the glorious witness of Christ, the comforter. You know why you even understand what I'm saying right now and believe it? Because the Spirit of God just gave you faith to believe it. Faith cometh. Cometh. I've said before, I know by nature, by men hear this thing of faith, and they say, well, I've had faith, just, you know, I've always believed. I heard Brother Henry say, if you've always believed, that's just a little bit too long. No, you haven't always believed. But when God grants faith, faith is continually coming. It cometh. So here is the Spirit of God who is the comforter of God's people. And he's pleased to continually open the spiritual understanding and grants continually that communion with the Son and the Father and the persons of the Godhead. And he grants that faith that when we hear of the Son, we're pointed and directed toward him. He gives that fresh new hearing ear again. It's something that we just naturally don't have. But he gives in that seeing eye. Trust him who has sealed God's people. He's sealed them. He's the down payment of our inheritance, the earnest. We have him. We have him, the earnest of God's Spirit, and he's sealed us. He sealed. It's a stamp is what it means. He sealed us. It's a seal. What is that? What's the evidence? What's the seal? Faith. There it is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All God's people believe God, and they're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Trust him. Trust him who is convinced. The redeemed and regenerate. He's convinced them of sin. He said, I'll send the comforter. He'll convince you of sin. What are God's people convinced of concerning sin? Well, they're convinced that by nature, that's what they were born in. And what they are by nature and of their need of mercy and God's grace, they're convinced of that. I don't have the ability to do anything about it, but I know he does. I'm convinced of it. They're convinced, secondly, of righteousness. What is it? That they don't have any of themselves, that theirs is nothing but filthy rags. You're convinced of that. You know that. You that believe, you know that the only righteousness that God's going to accept is the righteousness of his Son. You're convinced of that. You don't even remotely think that you could stand before God and plead your own cause. You don't believe that. You're convinced of sin, that that's what I am, and you're convinced of righteousness, that I must have his. And then you're convinced of judgment. That is, that being found in Christ, you don't have any more. You don't have it anymore. Truly, God's people have never been under God's wrath. We're convinced that there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Trust in him, the Spirit who leads his sheep. Listen to this scripture. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I was thinking about that, about being led. What are the being led of God's Spirit? What are the characteristics? What is that? How do you know that? I jotted down a couple of things. God's people in a state of regeneration, they're led by God's Spirit to remember something. They're led by God's Spirit to remember that though they right now, those that hear and know what I'm about to say, this the Spirit of God leads you this way. You're being led to know that even though right now you groan under a body of sin and death that's still in you. You know it's there. You know it's there. That body of death that wars against your new mind, that you know and you're being led to know you're going to have it until we leave this world. Still, by the Spirit of God leading you, you know that you're still walking in an awareness of your adoption and peace with the Lord. You feel that body of death, and you groan under it. That's what Paul was saying. He was talking about in Romans chapter 7, and he said he thanked the Lord for this, that God had taught him something. He said, I thank God, verse 25, Romans 7, 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. He said, I know there's a new man there. I know I say as Peter, Lord, you know I love you. Lord, I love you. But he said also, I thank the Lord has taught me that with the flesh I serve the law of sin. God leads his people, they that are led by the Spirit of God. We're not, you know, we're not walking in this world blindly or ignorantly thinking that sin is not still present with us. We know it is. We feel it. We behold it. And secondly, they're continually led to know afresh how that without the Lord, They can't do anything. They know that. I can't direct my path. I know that. It's not in me. And that they, but they're led to rejoice in the fact that sin, though present, is not dictating to them. They know that they know that they're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh, that the Lord has freed them from it. They're struggling, and then they're led to know that the Spirit of God bears them up in the time of trials. Without Him, they know that they'd fall. They know that they enjoy in Christ all the privileges of sonship. Oh, and they say in the book of Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. The older, don't you that, you know, you've been around a little bit longer like me, you know, and you start with an anxious anticipation, don't you? You start thinking, I see myself, I'm tired. I get tired. And you know this. The Lord has promised that there's coming a day which we're going to see Him. And you find yourself being led with an anticipation of that. I still know that we struggle because of sin with that. You know, I don't want to leave. I don't know. I don't know about death. I've never gone through that before. There's something about it that I don't understand. But then there's that same time, that realization that I've been bought, and the blood of Christ is covered, paid for. We cry unto Him. Trust in the Lord. Trust the Father. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. Don't lean on your wisdom, your cunning, your prudence. We don't have any. We don't know. Trust Him with a heart that knows. When it says trust the Lord with all thine heart, trust Him with a heart that knows that I'm weak. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. The Lord is my strength. And I know this with all my heart. I know this with all my heart. He's the shepherd. With all my heart, I know this. I'm the pot. He's the potter. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. With all my heart, I know that He loves His own. With all my heart, I know this. He's not going to leave me. I don't believe He's going to leave me. I don't believe He will. With all my heart, I know that He knows the end from the beginning. I know with all my heart, in me, I don't have anything in which to glory save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jeremiah 9:23-24, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. Now, here's what. Don't trust in your might and your riches and your... Oh, but he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. If a man, woman going to glory, let him glory in this. He's God. He's in the heavens. And He's done whatsoever He's willed to do. Doesn't that just, isn't that a precious thing to glory in? I'm going to glory in Him. He's going to do whatever He's pleased to do. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, call upon me. I think about so many times that thief on the cross. Lord, would You remember me? Lord, would You remember me? Buddy, there's not a believer that doesn't in somewhat say that continually. Lord, have mercy on me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways. Now we just looked at something just a few minutes ago. Talking about the ways that God has led, directed. There was Elijah and God directed him, came, you know. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. What does that mean? That means in all your ways, acknowledge that he's the one that ordered this. Now, I'm going to say something. If we all, I'm starting right here, especially right here. If we ever truly believe this, we wouldn't have another moment's worry. This would be it right here. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. If I truly believe, which I do, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. All things work together. They're all entwined and they're beautifully wonderful. I mean everything. I mean people over on the other side of the world that I don't even know, never heard of, and never will hear of. But everything that's happening is so intricately entwined and works together. And the ordering of thoughts and directing of people to want to do this or want to go here or come back this way. We'd never get to the bottom of it. To the indescribable power of God in ordering all things. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That fact right there would settle us down and realize that everything that I see, that I look at and I say, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious? What is that but unbelief on my part? Everything in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Lord, you have moved to cause that to happen. Lord, you ordered that. And in all of these things, acknowledging him, the Lord put that man and that woman there. The Lord moved them to do that. And the best thing for me to do is trust in the Lord. I don't know, as Don told me again. I told you the other day. Don told me, he said, Marvin, we don't know what God's doing. We think we don't know. Trust in the Lord. And listen to this. And he shall direct thy paths. He shall. Psalm 119:24. Thy testimonies. He directs our paths in this word, in providence, in that voice. He directs the paths of his people. Remember, I jotted these last three things. I almost got into it right here. I'm going to tell you three things and I'm done. As we're being led, and he shall direct thy paths. He directs his people, number one, to inquire. You know that in Ezekiel 36. All these things that the Lord's promised he's going to do. Yet for all these things will I be inquired of. All these things that God said he's going to do for us. It's not that our prayer moves God to do anything. God's purpose to do. But God Almighty has ordained that we're going to ask him for it. That's the way he said he does it. And that's the way he does it. So in the way that the Lord directs our paths, there's three things that I've touched on in these two messages. In that sense, Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Whenever God Almighty is going to direct the paths, which he is, of his people, here's what he's going to do. He's going to move them to pray about it. God moves them to pray. He said, as we are looking for guidance and direction, ask. Now, let me ask you this. Whenever you find yourself in a state of need and something has crossed your path providentially and God moves you to pray about it, you want to talk to the Lord about it, don't you? I want to pray about this. This is a burden to me. Ask, he said, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. It may not be what you think you wanted or thought you wanted, but the Lord has promised. You ask, you're going to receive. You ask for it. And he that seeketh, findeth. Same answer. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Same answer. It may not be what we thought, but when God directs our paths, he's going to move upon our hearts to pray about it. Ask him about it. And secondly, when God's going to direct our paths, listen for that still, small voice. God speaks through his word. But God Almighty is going to take that word and he's going to speak to the heart of his people. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's people hear the voice of the shepherd. And he speaks to them just like the Lord spoke to Elijah. In that still, small voice, there will be a witness. There will be a witness to the heart. And thirdly and lastly, when God directs our paths, we pray about it. God's going to speak to our heart about it. And thirdly, concerning his providence. How did the Lord work it out? How did God work it out? The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. When God directs the paths of his people, trust in the Lord. Trust the Father, trust the Son, trust the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. We don't know. We don't know. In all thy ways, as he directs our paths, and acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. And as he's directing, I'm telling you, he's going to direct our paths to pray about it. Pray. He's going to direct our paths and speak to our hearts. It's not going to be a cold, indifferent, No. You're going to hear. You'll hear. And behold his providence. What did the Lord do? The Lord directs the paths of his people. And that's how he does. I pray this is a help. I pray this is a comfort. I pray it's glorifying to the Lord. For his sake and our glory.